So, a couple things before we get rolling. I have updated our iTunes page.
What does that mean?
It means our names are now on it. It now says Dave Lloyd, Alonzo Duralde. Before it
didn't
said,
have that before.
Before it said unknown.
I prefer unknown.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I like
you,
to
you
be
work
mysterious.
In the shadows. Yes,
I like to work in the shadows.
Now it's got our name on it, and we are officially tagged as a clean podcast. You can't do that anymore.
Kidding, I'm just, that was a joke.
I know, but you, stop it. And it was your idea originally.
I know.
Clean it up, mister.
No, it's clean. That was kidding. That was my one PG-13.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I don't know if iTunes is that liberal.
They're not as liberal as the MPA.
Yeah, shocking, I know. We'll figure it out. But anyway, that's your last one. Never again.
That was my first one.
I mean, on this... No, you've said bad swears.
I've said swears, but not the F word.
Okay, well, you don't get to any more, because we are clean teens. across the table from me is...
teens.
Dave White, film critic for movies.com.
No, I'm really busy with my tea.
I know you are, but I for once in your life, I need you to multitask.
Alonzo Duralde is the film critic for no one.
Yes, well.
And the author of
and everyone at the same time.
And everyone at the same time. Well, you're on What the Flick,
which is
on YouTube with Christy Lemire from the Associated Press and Ben Mankiewicz of TV's Ben Mankiewicz. And...
Matt Atchity.
And Matt Atchity of Rotten Tomatoes, where I'm finally getting myself on.
Rotten Tomatoes?
I have a password and stuff now.
All right.
My movies.com reviews are going to go up on Rotten Tomatoes.
So now you,
it's all up to me, actually.
You got to go post yourself.
I have to be the one to do it. Like, I haven't been so busy, I haven't started doing it yet.
Well, get on it. That's I always have to post mine, so, you know.
Yeah. You'll have to teach me what to do.
it's real easy.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'll even show you my special way where I simultaneously post myself on Rotten Tomatoes and on IMDb.
Does it make a noise that I'm stirring my tea like this?
It's hard to say because I'm in the room with you. So
I see.
Whatever. I'm sure someone out there will find it calming.
I can't find my thing, my tea strainer thing. I can't find it. And so I used that, you know, those little spoons that open up like Jaws.
Uh-huh.
I never use it. I mean, I've got one here in the drawer, but I never use it. And
I think I know where your strainer is, but
all right.
Anyway.
Because I use loose leaf tea.
Yes.
Because
you're a fancy
I'm
man.
I'm sophisticated. And
you're the, what's that, was that thing on The Office?
Fancy man enjoys tea.
What was the thing on The Office? The,
I don't know.
Where they would sit around and drink tea and read, like, talk about Jane Austen.
The Finer Things.
The Finer Things Club. Because you're a Finer Things
Club
member.
That's me. I have my own private Finer Things Club here in my house.
So, this week is mostly dominated by the release of...
Who cares?
Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
No one cares.
And it's... You know, here's the thing. I skipped out on 2 and 3.
Honestly, nobody listening to this podcast cares about Pirates of the Caribbean. I guarantee you. Like, folks care. People care. Like, my 14-year-old niece cares or whatever. I guarantee you the two dozen people who listen to this podcast...
But I bet they want to hear what we think about it.
Boring.
Yes.
The end.
It is. I did not go to 2 or 3 because I saw the first Pirates, which was a big hit, and I was like, I'm not down. This is too long. This is not interesting. The action sequences are terribly directed because I don't know where things are in relation to other things, so there's no excitement and nothing makes any sense. And then 2 and 3 apparently were that and more of the same. And then I saw 4 only because we're doing this show.
Well, I've seen all 4 of them, and I enjoyed 1 through 3 more or less,
mm-hmm.
Because they're dumb, all of them, mm-hmm. And I like the part in the first one where the skeletons are walking along the bottom, the skeleton army are marching along the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that part? Wasn't that great?
Not really.
It was fantastic.
I remember the part where the zombies are walking across the bottom of the ocean in that last crappy George Romero movie. But I guess they ripped it off.
They
from
stole
pirates.
It from pirates.
Okay.
I like that they don't make any sense and that they just go on and on forever. There was pleasure in Johnny Depp being the Groucho Marx of these films and not the main
right.
guy, but now he's the main guy and he has to carry the whole movie. And you know what he's, you know what he isn't? All that interesting. Like, as a guy, as a character, he's,
no.
He's just sort of like, I'm drunk. And
yeah.
I'm going to say, I'm going to be woozy. And
it dawned on me this time that he's doing Dudley, Dudley Moore and Arthur.
Arthur, right. Yes, exactly.
That's slightly inebriated and with a British accent. You know, right. It's like, you know, like it's cute, but whatever. You know, it's, I don't get the Jack Sparrow, like, fixation.
I've become bored, and it might be my fault. But I've become bored by them.
Yeah.
And so, and they make Penelope Cruz look really not pretty.
Which is
stupid.
A physical impossibility, one would
right.
think.
She's like one of those beautiful actresses on the planet, and she doesn't look good no. in this movie. And she doesn't need to act in this movie. Nobody's required
no.
to really do any acting in this movie. I'd tell you who was great. Richard Griffiths, that big British dude who was... Yeah.
From the History Boys and the Harry Potter
movies. He plays
King George.
Uncle Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He plays King George in this movie, and he's hilarious, and he's in it for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But he's all like, bewigged, you know, and it's just nice. It's
and
funny.
his sort of like aide-de-camp guy is the lecherous guy from Tamara Drew who keeps turning up in all the British-y movies lately.
I've tried to forget pretty much everything I know about Tamara Drew.
Well,
you and Tamara Drew.
You're wrong.
Talk about Tamara Drew more than
it keeps I coming up. I can't
anything.
Help it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Pirates 4, bleh, whatever. Moving on. Unless you have anything else.
We were going to discuss its similarity to The Amazing
Race.
Oh,
yes, that's right. Dave White had a really good point after the movie.
Why don't you tell them what my
sure.
point was?
Sure. Because
I don't remember what it was.
It's basically, I think, a defense of this film as really pointing out Jerry Bruckheimer as the auteur here and
right.
not director Rob Marshall.
Right.
Because the film is very much structured like an episode of the Bruckheimer-produced Amazing Race.
If you hear a floor creaking while we're talking, it's because Graham is walking around with a camera and he's taking our pictures.
Yes, we're being photographed so that I can finally create a Facebook page that I've been promising to do for the last
feel,
6 months.
Feel free to walk around, Graham. It's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be all silent.
Knock yourself out.
You don't have to tiptoe.
Anyway, this movie is set up like an episode of The Amazing Race. There is a goal that people have to reach.
Yes, the Fountain of Youth, by the way.
Yes, there are several teams that are trying to get there. There's the British, there's the Spanish, and there's the Blackbeard ship. They have to pick up certain things along the way. It's like having to get the Travelocity gnome or whatever, you know. Or they have to, you know, picking up the books that you have to take to the library, and then the woman in the library will give you your next clue. I mean,
right.
it's very much, you could totally right. break it down. Like, somebody should do a YouTube edit with the Amazing Race music and with, like, you know, Phil, and they just, and turn it into that.
Right.
And, you know, Jack Sparrow, you are the first team to arrive. And because you are first, you have won a glorious vacation for two from Travelocity.com.
Right. So anyway, that was our... That's everything we have to say.
Pretty much.
About this
boring movie.
Yeah.
Also...
You know, but if you're a big fan of this stuff and you're stoked to see it, you're probably going to like it.
Yeah.
They're just nothing. They're like these... They're just empty... It's like eating a bag of potato chips.
It's like generic.
Which I just did before we
yes.
went on
the air. Well, the thing about franchises like this that are successful that I don't like, it's hard for me to gauge from film to film... You know, like...
Is this one any good?
Is this one any good?
Is it better than the last?
Or, you know, well,
no,
people,
it is exactly if, the if same
if you liked
the
other
last.
Ones, will you yeah. like this one? Because I don't know. You know, it's a dog whistle I can't hear, you know? Like, I remember seeing...
I was hearing it for a while, and then...
I remember seeing Night anymore. At the Museum 2, and it was like, God, this is terrible. But then the first one was terrible, too, so what do I know? You know, anyway. Also opening this weekend in limited release is Woody Allen's new film Midnight in Paris, starring Owen Wilson and Rachel McAdams. And I don't want to give away the twist.
Oh,
I know
God.
You've been doing it, and other people have it.
Dude, everybody already knows the twist. There's no twist.
It's not,
it happens
it's,
in
it's,
the first 15 minutes of the movie.
But it's not in the trailer, if you notice.
I don't care if it's in the trailer
but
or not.
Because I think, look, did you know going in about it?
No,
I didn't either.
But do you know why I didn't know anything going in?
Why?
What? Because I didn't want to see it. Because it was a Woody Allen movie, and the last two of them have been buttocks.
What was the one before? Oh, that's right. That one.
The one where Larry David falls for whoever.
Evan Rachel Wood.
19-year-old girl. Yeah. And then, like.
You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger.
You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger, which is unbearable, you know.
But.
And so I didn't want to go. I didn't even want to see this.
Right.
And so I didn't know the name of it until the day we went to see it.
Uh-huh.
I avoided all plot, you know, anything. But if I had wanted to hunt, even the most little bit, I would have been able to go online and find out what it was about.
When I was in college, and I was a huge, huge Woody Allen fan, I made it a point to never read the reviews, to always go in as cold as possible. And this one, yeah, similarly, I don't have the enthusiasm for Woody Allen anymore.
Gay for Woody Allen is not the same thing.
But
as,
could I finish?
Sure.
Talkie pants?
Right.
This one I didn't really care about. I was like, oh, the last two were crappy, and oh, Owen Wilson. So I was sort of ignoring it, whatever. And I'm so glad that I didn't know, because having it be a surprise as I watched it was really delightful, and it really made the movie even better.
That surprise takes place in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Therefore,
it barely counts as a spoiler. But you know what? I'm going to play your game.
Thank you.
This week.
Fine. I appreciate it.
It is the best Woody Allen movie and the funniest Woody Allen comedy that I've seen.
At least since Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Since Match Point. I really liked Match Point, but it was not a comedy.
No.
But it's the funniest comedy that he's done in like 15 years or something. Like, it's... And... It's impossible to talk about because you've put me in handcuffs.
All right. If you're listening to this and you don't want to know what happens.
Put your fingers in your ear and sing Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah, or just like use your little cursor on iTunes. And
on your whatever.
Skip ahead like 3 minutes. All right. Okay. We have 3 minutes. Go.
He time travels.
Yes.
It's Back to the Future, basically. Woody Allen made
Owen future. Wilson is a Hollywood screenwriter in Paris, and he at midnight, a mysterious car shows up and takes him back to 1920s Paris, where he gets to hang out with Hemingway and Fitzgerald and you know, Cole Porter and
Louis
Gertrude Stein.
Will and Man and, Ray and Picasso and
yeah.
all these people.
And so, you know, and so he's really inspired to go back to writing his novel, and he falls in love with Marion Cotillard, who is this... costume designer who has been the mistress of several artists and currently the mistress of Picasso. And she, in turn, longs for the Paris of the Belle Époque of the 1890s.
Right.
And at one point, she and Owen Wilson go back there to meet, you know, Toulouse-Lautrec and what, Manet or whoever.
Yeah.
And only to find out those guys long for the Paris of, like, the Renaissance. So, like, the message of the film basically is that, you know, you need to appreciate the time that you're in and make the most of it, and that whatever old periods that you long for that you think were the sort of apex of culture.
Everyone was boring then, too.
Everyone then thought that they were living in a crappy time, you know. the only thing that I found kind of odd about that coming from this director is that Woody Allen is so not contemporary in so many ways.
That's why I liked it, because he was sort of, you know.
Do you think he's goofing on himself?
He's goofing on himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, here's a guy who, like, basically anything post-Sidney Bechet is, like, too modern of music for him.
I always remember that when I was young, when I was a kid, watching Hannah and Her Sisters.
You were in college.
Yeah, I was a kid. I was young.
Okay.
What do you call it?
When you say when I was young, when I was
this,
a kid,
this
you think...
This kid photographing us today.
I know, but I just, I don't want people to think
23 years old.
I don't want people to think you were 8 or something, because...
No. Yeah.
Because I just...
Compared to me, who's about to turn 47... This,
right.
This
okay. I just wanted to be clear. All right. We have a minute left for spoiler talk. So go.
It's funny and the people who play the old timey characters are all great.
Particularly,
Kathy Bates is awesome as Gertrude Stein, and Adrian Brody is really funny because he shows up as Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
And he sits at home going, I am Dali.
But Corey Stoll as...
This guy named Corey Stoll that I had never heard of before.
Who's on Law and Order Los Angeles. As Hemingway is
Hemingway
hilarious.
He's like the coolest
dude in the movie. He walks away with much of the film. He's a riot.
Everything he says sounds like the way Ernest Hemingway writes.
Yes.
And so it's just, it's
which
awesome.
Is ludicrous. So yeah. Perfect, you know.
Yeah, it's funny and it's sweet and it's mature and it's smart and...
It's all the things that you want a Woody Allen movie to be, and they so rarely ever are anymore. So. Yeah.
And if you're old, you're totally going to like it because the only people who like Woody Allen movies anymore
that's
are old
true.
People.
Okay. All right, our 3 minutes are up.
If you're young and you don't know who these people are, then you'd have no business.
Well, then go to Google afterwards. Anyway, but okay, we're no more spoilers because we told people 3 minutes and so we're done.
You're infuriating. It's ridiculous. Look, let's talk about your birthday.
Okay, why not?
Because we're finished talking about this week's movies.
Well, except for some limited release stuff, but yeah.
Oh, that's right, L'Amour Fou.
You want to talk about L'Amour Fou, and I was going to talk about Spork.
Briefly, L'Amour Fou is this documentary that I will be writing about for
FutureShipwreck.com,
whose proprietor is currently taking photographs of us. And it's about the art auction of the Yves Saint Laurent estate.
Right.
And his partner of 50 years, Pierre Berger, is the one, you know, putting it all in motion. And the documentary is basically him telling you their life story in the context of all of this stuff that they've accumulated, like homes and art and sculpture and furniture and
is it like is it like the last scene of Citizen Kane?
It's kind of like Summer Hours.
Actually. Oh, okay.
There is a movie that came out was last year or the year before?
2 years ago,
called Summer Hours. Olivier Assayas. It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
about a woman, a family matriarch, who dies and leaves all of these. Her art and furniture collection to her children, and her children are basically playing hot potato with this stuff for the entire movie. Like, they don't
want to deal with it.
And even though a lot of it is really, really valuable, and it's this movie's about how this woman, you know, has collected all of these things slowly through her entire life and, like, built her life through her associations with these objects and the people who made them. And
it's sort of a metaphor about, like, how we deal with
globalism.
The past and, yeah, basically.
And so the so this is the documentary version of that.
Gotcha.
But it's completely unlike Summer Hours in that Pierre Berger is the least sentimental dude on earth. Hmm. He's like, they are things. they were encounters that we had in our life, and they came into our life, and we lived with them, and we loved them, and now I am letting them go, and they're going to fly away like birds and into someone else's hands, where they will have a new life, and I say goodbye to it. Like, he's just this whole, like, not crying sort of dude at all about anything.
Cool. Okay.
But it's still very moving because, like, he had to take care of Yves Saint Laurent a lot because... You know, that sort of tortured genius
right.
sort of thing where he was, like, cripplingly shy. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He didn't want to go anywhere other than to wherever Mick Jagger happened to be. And the or to, you know, their palatial, you know, luxurious homes where he could lie around in a literally a caftan. Like, you think of these old gays in the caftans.
Right.
Photographs of Yves Saint Laurent in the caftan.
Sweet.
Just, like, lounging about. And, like, he would work.
With
work,
wait, in the caftan and the big giant square glass.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh,
he would
work.
Cocaine. And then go off to, like, this gingerbread house that they had in the woods. Filled with,
in
like...
In Baden-Baden.
Filled with invaluable, you know, objects and plates of... dainty cakes, like it was, and piles of drugs, like, right. So it's interesting. It's moving and it's yeah, it's good.
Okay,
I liked it a lot.
Opening in L.A. and New York, and I think Chicago, San Francisco, in a few cities this weekend is a film called Spork, which was the closing night film at Outfest last year and played really, really well and is now finally getting into theaters. And it's basically about a sort of unpopular high school girl who is accused of being classy. Having the little Yves Saint Laurent cokey moment.
Yeah.
Accused of being of ambiguous gender by her classmates, so her nickname is Spork. And she is best friends with this girl who lives next door named Tootsie Roll, who is this amazing dancer. But then when during one of the...
Indie movies.
Yes. During one of the rehearsals for Tootsie Roll's dance troupe, she slips on some hair product and injures herself. And so Spork has to kind of come in and help out for the big dance.
All right, I haven't seen this movie.
It's very...
I'm already all preciused up.
No, it's very silly.
And I don't mean precious, the movie precious.
I know, based on the novel push by Sava. I mean, no, it's not as twee as I'm maybe making it sound. No, it's very it's very goofy and very kind of raunchy at times, and kind of it has a mean spirit that you would really enjoy. I think.
Okay, good.
But you know, mean toward the right people. Anyway, it's a cute little movie. I don't want to oversell it, but if you get a chance to see it, it's very charming. It's very fun.
Okay, let's talk about your birthday because it was so great.
Okay, now my birthday, the actual day or celebrated?
Both. Okay. Both were movie related.
That's true, because this is I'm such a nerd that even for my birthday.
On my birthday, we go see more movies. The last thing I want to do is go see a movie. Like, there have been times on my actual birthday where I've had to go to a screening.
Oh, me too.
On that night. Of garbagey things.
I had to see Encino Man.
Like Kate and
Leopold,
that kind of stuff. Like nothing
that you would ever want to see on any day.
Much less my birthday.
Right.
But when it comes time to plan my birthday, event, we're going to have a party, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. Movies do not enter into my plans.
I see.
I want a break from work. Having said that, we did two movie-related things on your actual birthday and last night, and both of them were awesome.
Yes. Now, okay, admittedly, the one that we did on my birthday, we only did because the film had a limited run, and it was the one only night we could do
three,
it.
Right.
We went to the silent movie theater where CineFamily was screening the, what's the guy's, Shin Sono?
What's his name, Graham?
Sion Sono?
Yeah.
Sion Sono.
Yeah.
His 4-hour teen epic Love Exposure.
Right.
Which was mind blowing.
Yes.
If this movie,
an astounding movie.
If this movie, we're told.
And I know I just freaked you out with 4 hours.
Yes.
By saying it's 4 hours long, and it is literally.
But it zips by.
240 minutes.
Yeah.
Like it's that long, and
always riveting.
Not once is it boring.
No.
It is to describe the plot is actually almost impossible. But it is about religious obsession. It is about perversity. It is about
true love
and sex and involuntary erections
and cults
and like mean dads and like sins, and it is the Gone with the Wind of boners.
That's one for the poster.
It is a bizarre, exciting, distinctive. You've never seen a movie this.
No, absolutely not.
Here's what's also awesome about this movie. It came out in 2008, so it's just now sort of
breaking,
trickling into the world of the United States. Like, it's screened here in Los Angeles a couple other times on one-off situations.
But this was only the second time in CineFamily history that they've done a full week's run of a movie.
A full week's run of a movie. They normally don't do that.
And it stars all these, they're all J-pop stars, right?
Well, the two main kids, the kid who plays you, the boy, and the girl who plays Yoko, they are J-pop, singers. They are Justin Bieber, boy and girl, basically.
Wow, okay.
It would be like if Justin Bieber made an Taylor Swift made an NC-17 movie about religious mania and erections.
And panty cam photos.
The spiritually healing power of boners. and snapping pictures of girls' panties. That. If you could imagine them taking on those film roles, that's the equivalent
of what these people did in Japan.
This movie starts out, it feels like Zapped. And then it feels like just one of the guys. And then it becomes this...
It became Ticket to Heaven for
a whole
while.
Other insane thing. It's gory as heck.
All Get Out.
Keep this, now that we've been labeled clean.
That's right. Watch it.
But there's fountains of spurting blood when people are being...
A few times, mind you.
No, it's not.
This isn't a Takashi Miike movie.
No, it's not. Yeah, exactly. It's And the people who that happened to...
had it coming.
Well, some of them did.
Well,
yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. It'll be out on DVD eventually.
And probably by the end of the year.
Probably
even,
in Japan, it's already out.
It probably is.
You can probably get a Japanese DVD. Willing to hunt.
Olive Films, who I briefly mentioned last week when I was talking about Such Good Friends, they're the ones who are putting Skidoo out on DVD this summer. And also just put out Preminger's Hurry Sundown. They apparently own this film in the U.S. They're the distributor.
Are they putting it out on? Are they the one? Are they going
to
be doing it?
I was told by someone that it may be coming out in like the next 6 to 8 months.
Wow, that would be so great.
We will talk about it more when that happens.
But because it's called Love Exposure. Put it on your list.
Yeah.
Of, you know,
if you have
in the future, I must see this.
If you have a good,
if you have one of those lists.
If you have a good local rep house in your city, like beg them to bring this movie in. You really got to see it.
Dude, how many cities have those? I know Dallas doesn't.
No,
like I have everything I think about is in terms of Dallas. Yeah. Because
well,
that's
I mean, San Francisco has several, obviously. You know, they've got the Castro.
They got the Castro,
and I think the Roxy. Don't they do rep?
Didn't they close?
That's for the Victoria. I'm not sure. Maybe it did. I don't know.
Oh, wait. That's the Vic.
Or the Victoria closed, yeah. I think. You know, New York obviously has several rep places. Or even like if you have like a good local museum that has a screening program or something.
People
like
of
that,
Portland, you know. I know you have one. You gotta have one. Yeah. There's no way you don't have one.
Seattle, I know, has like, I did that thing in Seattle for the Christmas book. Yeah, you know, Rerun in New York should be doing this. It's extraordinary. Anyway, so that was my actual birthday this week. And then last night, to celebrate my birthday
I ran into a person that night who I had no idea who she was. But
You're an online fan.
She recognized me, but not from this and not from the book and not from the movie reviews, from the KCRW show.
From Unfictional. Where Dave is a periodic contributor.
She had heard me on Unfictional tell a story about my mom, and she, during the intermission, she said, "Are you Dave White?" And I was like, "Yes." This is very strange. And she was like, "My name is Jen." And so,
So people out there who think
that was really cool,
who are fans of Dave White's voice, I know that's a big chunk of this audience. Whether you want to have intimate relations with it or think it sounds like a cartoon dog, go to KCRW.
I was told this week that I sound like a cartoon dog.
But which one though? You know, a Huckleberry Hound or
well, it's not a Droopy Dog because you've got that also. Right.
Thank you. Anyway, go to kcrw.org/unfictional and look through the archives. Dave White has had several stories there, and they're terrific.
I even know the name of the episodes that I'm on. I'm on Hometowns. Uh-huh. I'm on Care, C-A-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on The Womb.
Okay.
The Womb, like in your uterus.
Gotcha.
Or
not my uterus.
Not your uterus, no.
So you can hear more Dave White there.
But
anyway, go on.
No, it was just it's always kind of fun to, like, meet people who dig what you do.
Of course.
And who are strangers to you, essentially, you know?
Yeah. I get spotted periodically by Rotten Tomatoes show fans, but at least they would know what my face looks like. For somebody to recognize you from radio, that's pretty amazing.
Well, but she had friended me on Facebook.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But I have so many people on Facebook who never post or who post, like, really sporadically.
Right.
That I don't know who all of them are.
Sure, yeah, I know.
And so, excuse me, I'm not about to cry, I promise. I'm having a...
He's verklempt.
I'm having a tea refluxy moment.
Oh, charming.
So I sniffed, and now I'm having a belchy thing going on.
Just trying not to break wind into the microphone.
Fantastic.
All of the many. So my other
accomplishments of my body.
My other birthday movie extravaganza. We drove out to Montclair, California, to go to the lovely Mission Tiki Drive-In. I'd been there once before. David
to anybody
never been.
Who isn't.
If you live in or ever visit the Southern California area,
you should go.
Yes,
because if you live in Los Angeles, you especially have no excuse because it takes less time to get there than it does to drive across Los Angeles during rush hour.
Yeah.
Because I've been in the car for an hour trying to get from here to, say, like, Santa Monica.
Right.
At 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Which, and for reference, Santa Monica is about 5 miles away.
Yeah, we're in West Hollywood.
Yeah. And so, like, this place is, what, 30-something miles away?
Mm-hmm.
It'll take you, like, an hour to get there.
Yeah.
If you live in L.A. And, Last night was my first time there. It is fantastic out there. That is the best drive-in I think I've ever been to in my life. Now, normally we go out to the City of Industry.
Right.
To their drive-in.
To the Vineland.
And I like the
Vineland. Which has its own charm.
It's janky, but I'm into it. Like, the train runs right through it.
Through it, yeah. During the second feature.
And everything's a little broke down, but I'm still into it. I still like going there because it's amidst, like, lumber warehouses and topless bars.
Yeah, like cinder block topless bars.
Yeah, like Miss Kitty's
topless review,
boob emporium or whatever. Yeah, it's great. But this place, the people who have this place have put their hearts and souls into it. They designed the whole thing on a tiki theme.
Like all the little ticket booths when you drive up,
are these sort of like thatch huts with tiki huts. They've even got little flickery, candly, like tiki torches around the projection booth that you have to look up to notice that they are even there. But like the entrances to the bathrooms are like woven grass and stuff. It's crazy. And
it's like being in like the Polynesia section of Disneyland.
It's all repaved. It's got,
the nice, asphalt is asphalt not is cracky.
New and paved. It's, they've got a little like gift shop.
Yes.
You can buy t-shirts and little tiki cups and things.
Memorabilia.
But the best of all.
Yes.
Their concession stand is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of like dumb packaged snacks that you could get anywhere. But they have carne asada everything at this place. Tacos, burritos, nachos, fries. Carne asada fries. They have these like churros that are also like big French fries. They're like churro fries, but they serve them with like this raspberry gloop and whipped cream, and you just dunk it, the cinnamony sugar churro fries in the stuff. Oh, it's so awesome.
They have funnel cakes,
pizza pretzels, which are okay.
I tasted them last night, but I don't know. You know, but all kinds of ice creams.
Insanely good ice cream sandwiches.
Yes.
These guys have their
thing together.
Like, and the service at the snack bar is fast because it's like in and out. The kids are like, next. And they all are dressed in like Polynesian sort of outfits and stuff. They don't seem miserable to
No.
Like, it's a great place.
They've got four screens.
I would go there every weekend if it were not for the fact that we got home at 2 a.m.
Well, yeah, there is that.
From the double feature.
Yeah.
And I don't... Staying up until 2 a.m.
Yeah, no, that's not my bag. Well, maybe next time you can go in your PJs and then you can fall asleep in the back seat.
I am going to do that. I'm going to wear... Oh, actually, I'm not. That's a lie. Because it's too cold to do that. It was like 50 degrees. Now, I know that for people who have actual winter, that's nothing. But you don't expect to go to the drive-in...
In the summer
and have it drop down to 50 degrees. And
but that's why I told everybody, bring a jacket, bring a blanket, you know, because it gets chilly at night. But yeah, it was... So we saw Bridesmaids again.
And Mission Tiki Drive-In.
It was in a double feature with Fast Five, which is a total drive-in.
We saw Fast Five and Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
That was on our screen. $7, by the way. That's $3.50 per movie.
Yeah. $7 a person. The only time
it doesn't work well, there is also a train track.
It doesn't go through, but it goes next to it.
like in Vineland, but it goes next to. And like twice during the movies... Trains came by.
Yeah.
And
frankly, one of the times...
But all you have to do is turn up your volume.
Yeah. One of the times Paul Walker was talking, and I was perfectly okay with that. I was like, yes, more trains, please.
Because when he's... It's not...
Yeah. But you know, you can bring your portable radio, and you can turn it up as loud as you want and hear the audio from the film. And yeah, it's...
How many of us were there? Like 20 people or whatever?
Something like that, yeah. We had a pretty big group.
Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah.
And other screens that were showing...
Pirates
and Tangled.
Pirates and Tangled.
Priest and Source Code.
And
Thor and Rio.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, all the crappy movies that are out right now, you can go. And here's the thing. You go with all your friends.
Because
I know we're talking about this in a way that suggests that maybe people understand what it means to go to a drive-in. You don't have to sit in your car.
Yeah.
Because we didn't. We were all just out on Gary Cotti's truck tailgate.
Yeah, you know, you bring a folding chairs, you know.
You're not allowed to bring booze.
No.
I think some people might have done that.
Perhaps. Yeah. I would know nothing about that.
Me neither.
So yeah, Mission Tiki Drive-In. Go, go, go. It's terrific. What's your DVD pick this week?
I don't have one. I forgot.
Just pick something at random.
Well, Shout Factory just put out all these Gamera movies.
Yes, all the entire series.
Like all of them. Yeah. Like all the ones up until 1980 or something.
Well, okay, all of the original old school Gamera.
Right.
Not including, basically, they rebooted the series.
I'm just looking
in like
at them right now.
In 1995.
Is why I'm saying this. I'm you know, Gamera is awesome.
Yes.
And
they're about to do a whole month
filled with turtle meat.
Yes, yeah. Gamera is really neat. They're about to do a whole Japanese a kaiju like marathon on TCM like in about a week. By the way,
seriously?
Yeah.
Like what?
Put him in TiVo. The original Godzilla, Rodan.
Seen that.
Oh, you've seen them all, but hey, I forget. But there's like four or five in a row.
I have a special. So check local, I have a special
check local
fetish.
Listings.
I have a special fetish for Japanese monsters, rubber suit. Kaiju fighting the movies.
The word fetish is making me uncomfortable.
Ultraman,
here.
It is a fetish. It's a thing I really, really love, and it's sort of like a thing that I. It's
You're obsessed
it's
with.
It's not a sexy fetish.
Well, okay, but usually the word fetish implies that. So I just want to be clear that we're not. You don't.
That's not what I
dress
mean.
Up.
No,
as,
no,
you know,
no, no. I don't want to dress up
King
like,
Ghidorah or something.
I don't
want
to dress up like Megiddo to do it. I just want to.
You know, there's some crazy Jet Jaguar cosplay
see
or something.
Monsters
going
fighting.
On. Okay,
I want to see monsters fighting. Like our good friend in Dallas, David Zeev, used to always say, when walking out of a Merchant Ivory film, like Howard Zinn, that movie needed more monster fighting. All movies need more monster fighting.
Yeah, pretty much. King's Speech is
Love Exposure, I would say, 9.5. Out of 10, if there had been giant monsters that would have shown up.
Yeah, especially Japanese movies. When they don't have giant monster fighting, I'm a little let down, frankly. My DVD pick, I didn't really think about it either, actually. I'm going to go
Why are you so disappointed?
I'm going to go with a movie that you mentioned earlier in the podcast, which is Summer Hours. There is a beautiful...
I thought you were going to recommend The Rapture.
The Rapture's over. That is that the whole all that Rapture talk is tired.
I know, but the movie.
I know, but I'm just saying it's.
I assumed you would tie that in, even regardless.
All right, fine. Why not? Sure. The
I
Rapture
just talked about Summer Hours.
The Rapture.
You can't bite my
rhyme
on Summer
Hours. The Rapture didn't happen, but The Rapture, directed by Michael Tolkien and written by, is a terrific movie from the early 90s that a lot of people have seen, with Mimi Rogers as a woman who goes from being...
A lot of people have seen?
That not a lot of people
Not a lot of people have seen.
Mimi Rogers plays a woman who goes from being a rather sensual hedonist, let us say, to...
With fetishes.
Born-again sort of hardcore evangelical Christian,
right,
and winds up getting involved in this church that is very what's the word that I want here? Apocalypse minded.
Wacky.
No, what there's a term for this. I've heard you use it, like churches that are all about revelation and all about the apocalypse,
like millennialists, like those.
Whatever. Anyway, they're very big about the rapture and the end of the world,
right?
And she and her child. Go to the mountaintop to await the end of the world, and things get crazy.
Then things get crazy, right?
So go. Even though the actual
it's
rapture
really
was promised for Saturday the 21st did not go down, and I can't wait to hear the CYA explanations this week of why it didn't happen and how they got their math wrong. But anyway, in the meantime, check out The Rapture. So this brings us to an end of another podcast.
Goodbye. I'm done.
No, wait, we have to do things.
I won't be speaking anymore for the rest of this podcast. Okay. I'm finished.
Okay.
You
great.
I'm sorry.
My time is now.
Yeah.
First off, I do want to thank the Criterion cast for having me on this week to talk about The Times of Harvey Milk. They were wonderful folks to chat with, and it's a great movie. If you haven't seen the new Criterion release of Times of Harvey Milk, it's stunning. Lots of great extras. And yeah, it was a fun episode to do. So go to CriterionCast.com or download it from iTunes and check it out. As always, want to thank our friends in podcast land, Gray Drake of the Popcorn Mafia. The Comedy Couch with Dennis Hensley and Tony Tripoli. The Podcast Podcast, starring Fozzie Bear. Secretly.
No, we were just on last week.
Yes, I thought you weren't going to talk.
I had to self-promote a little bit.
Yes, we were on the Podcast Podcast. If you didn't already hear that one, go check it out. Check us out on that one.
More me.
Secretly Timid, with their inappropriate host. And
what?
He was the guy who said that he wanted to.
To do it.
To get busy with your voice.
With my voice.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any logistical sense.
Not really, no.
And that's all we could talk about here on this clean podcast.
Exactly. We're not going to go there.
But that doesn't even... You couldn't even draw a map of how that would happen. Actually.
And Blow Hard with Malcolm Ingram, of course. Check us out on Twitter. We are LinoleumCast. Drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
I haven't forgotten my promise to live tweet Jean Dielman either. I just haven't.
That's going to be a major undertaking.
I haven't gotten around to it.
You need to really like carve out some time there.
I can do it with one hand tied behind my back.
God. For anyone, it would be a major undertaking. So I'm just saying.
Tweet the dickens out of that. I get a list of euphemisms now. We really have to commit to this.
It was your idea.
I know. But I mean, you know, I just thought I was kind of half kidding.
You wanted to be all, I'm representing movies.com.
I know. I am representing movies.com. And they're nice to me. So I have to,
So, yeah, I guess that's it until next time. So, thank you for joining us once again, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.